Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to hashtag My Investing Story. My name is Ann McNeil and I am the master wealth builder, helping to build stronger and better lives and businesses. And I am excited to be here with my co-host, Iona McNeil, every Wednesday as volunteers with Better Investing. And we continue to bring you phenomenal guests every single week. But let's talk a little bit about Better Investing. For those of you that may be familiar with the organization, you know that Better Investing was established in 1951 as the National Association of Investors. And it is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that has helped more than 5 million individual people and investors from all walks of life. And Iona and I are part of that all walks of life, if you will. We have been able to improve our financial condition and help others improve their financial conditions through Better Investing by providing unbiased investment education and powerful online stock investing tools. And so tonight, we are very excited again to bring you another opportunity to hear an investing story. And one of the reasons why this program was created was to help individuals learn that you can start right where you are learning how to invest. And so we're not financial planners. We're not brokers. We are not encouraging you to buy any particular stock. We're simply here as volunteers to share another hashtag My Investing Story. And that story tonight is going to be presented by Team Infinity, which is comprised of 5 individuals. And Emmanuel is a recent graduate of Norfolk State University with a degree in business management and information systems. So welcome to the show, Emmanuel and Ione. How are you this evening? And again, welcome everybody to the show.
Thank you.
Sam, I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be a phenomenal show, Emmanuel.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. All right, let's get started.
Well, we're already in good spirits. I usually don't talk to guests before the show, but this is my newfound friend, Emmanuel. And we were just kind of getting acquainted on his next phase of life, which we'll bring up in the show. But Emmanuel, what's the mascot for Norfolk State? I know it's a
Spartans. We're Norfolk State Spartans.
Okay. I know it's a HBCU, but. I was in the green. Okay.
Green and gold.
Excellent. Are you originally from Virginia?
So I spent most of my life in Virginia. I was born in Queens, New York, but I spent a good chunk of my life in Virginia, between Norfolk and Virginia Beach.
Okay. Excellent. Now I'm going to jump into one of the highlights of you just completed the Ally Stock Market challenge, right, hosted by Ally, was 5 weeks, about a month or so ago. And can you talk to us a little bit about what that experience meant for you or taught you and instilled in you?
So I just think back to the first email I got from Mr. Deson S. Elman, who was the program manager for Thurgood Marshall College Fund. TMCF and Ally have a very good relationship together, and I've been a part of one of Ally's events before where they talked about the importance of economic mobility. And when I heard about this opportunity, I knew, like, this was a time where I stepped up my knowledge and my level, my skill set as a retail investor up a couple more notches and got, more serious into investing and not as much as into gambling. So I knew this is going to be a time where I can sharpen my skills, and I love competitions and challenges. And I knew once I got the email, that this would be like a fantastic opportunity. And I let him know the day of. I was like, please sign me up. I wanted in. And so to answer your question, jumping into this program, I think getting the opportunity to learn a bit more, having UIONI as our teacher and having you engage with us, that's what I love the most, like you engage with us every week during those 5 weeks and taught us new strategies. And it's not like you told us things that were, completely over our heads. You started from the beginning, like what are stocks? Why do companies issue out stocks? So we were able to follow with you no matter what our skill level was. And then you put us on the spot too, which helped too. So I think that was my favorite part because that I was engaged the whole time.
I mean, you are a phenomenal student out of, I don't know, maybe 50 students. Only you and a few other, less than five, would have your camera on. So I took that as initiative, the initiative to want to be engaged, to be vulnerable enough to be seen, and to even want to be called on. So one of the questions I have, though, because I'm going to just go ahead and spill the beans. Your team came in as number one in the Ally Stock Market Challenge. And it blew us all by surprise. I mean, it did, but it didn't. And I use that as a leeway because, one of the pivotal journeys I want you to take us on is, what was it like growing up as Emmanuel? What were your first, concepts and interactions with money? Did you learn how to save? Did you even know about investing? Because what I saw was that Ally, participating in that Ally Stock Market Challenge was a pivotal moment for us. So we want to really hear, where were you coming from, and then take us to why that moment was so transformational for you?
For sure. My first experience with money was around when I was 12 years old in middle school. I was very insecure back then. I think it's all middle schoolers were. And I always asked my mom, when can I get some new threads? I wanted new clothes. And she told me, you get a job, you can buy your own clothes. And I was like, okay. Went on Craigslist. I was like, wow, I don't qualify for any of these jobs, but I knew I was good at math, and I put up an ad trying to be a math tutor, and which was so funny was, nobody contacted me, but I flipped the switch, and I was like, okay, I'll look for someone who needs to be tutored, and lo and behold, within about 2 days, I found a student, 2 years, my junior, and I was able to help him out, and I started making $20 per session, and that was my first time earning my own money. And then throughout that matriculation, as I started working jobs throughout high school, I learned how to open up a bank account, and I started getting that experience with money. In my family, there's a bad habit of playing the lottery, so I also did get that experience too. And I learned how those things can also flow down from generation to generation that, okay, it's on me to stop this chain from continuing any further. It stops. The gambling stops with me. But I was very fortunate to have my older brother, who's 13 years older than me, Marcus. He taught me about credit when I was a senior in high school, so I was able to have a joint account with him until I turned 18 and then learn about credit. So I was able to learn key concepts before I ever had a need for them early. I feel like that really helped with my mind, being open to different things and being open to learning different things instead of being, haphazard and scared. So I got to give it to my brother for opening my mind to things about money. And even though he put things bluntly, expecting me to catch on fast, it helped a lot.
Excellent. So talk to us a little bit about why what you were learning during that five-week Ally Stock Market Challenge was so pivotal. If you want to talk about your mom and that whole experience, we would love to hear it. But I think that sometimes people need to have the opposite thing happen for them to realize how valuable this new information can be for them to apply in their lives.
For me, it's great to say that because I've been exposed to some things that were talked about in the Ally Investment Challenge, but I never really took action on them previously. So I think, and I know I said this before when we talked one-on-one, but during that first week, when you said, what are you going to do differently than your parents, that really hit me hard. To talk a little bit about my story, my family and I come from a single mother, and we never really had it easy financially. We moved around a lot, escaping eviction notices and things of that nature. I moved from city to city because my mom just worked in entry-level jobs her whole life. And she pressed on me like the value of education and getting education, so I didn't have to struggle like her. And about 2 years ago, when I moved into my first apartment, applying all the lessons I learned from my brother the right way, she was down on her feet, and she asked if she could come stay with me. And me as her son, I said, sure. But it quickly turned pretty toxic. I love my mother to death, but we're opposite signs, and we tend to bump heads if we're in the same space for too long. It's healthy at a distance. But I learned that she didn't have, a 401k, her retirement plan saved up. She didn't have any savings. She was disabled and was looking for, the disability check to come in the mail. I just put in her application, and I just said, Mom, how long is this coming? And she said, I don't know. And I think that at that moment, it struck me like, I don't want to be in a place where it's, I don't know for my future retirement and my future goals. And that really struck me then. And then when you asked that question, it was like, wow, the memories came flooding back. And I was like, I should probably take this learning seriously during this challenge. So my mom, I'm so happy to say that my mom is, she's up on her feet now. She's doing very well for herself. And we have a very healthy relationship at a distance. But back when I was on my own, she's still trying to learn for myself, how to be an adult and how to, juggle being a full-time student and working 20 hours a week. And, just taking care of a roof over my head and still having to take care of a parent. I was like, do I have to be the child and the parent too? But I think looking back and just being grateful for the struggle, I'm grateful for that experience because I feel like it's sped up my learning curve faster than others who didn't go through a struggle or something of that nature.
Absolutely. Take us to when you and your team were announced the winner, because the interesting thing about this, and I'll give, the people some perspective, Ally, in partnership with Better Investing, ended up doing a five-week stock market challenge for Black and Brown or African American and African diaspora and Hispanic students through the Thurgood Marshall College Fund and another organization to provide investment education and the opportunity to work in teams like a mini investment club and invest $100,000 in 5 weeks. One of the hardest things that we did in terms of the planning and execution committee was, even though it was a short amount of time and the goal of the stock market game itself, it was to make the most money, right? Make the most return on your initial investment, which was $100,000. The investment education was not trading. So how we had to come up with a grading rubric that, even though we were teaching one thing, didn't penalize people from actually learning what we were teaching every Tuesday. And the highest, the number one prize winner is the one that just shorts AMC and, you know, makes $100,000 on $100,000, right? And in that process, we came up with, what did you learn? Recapping what you learned. How will you use it for the future? Talking about your strategy, the team strategy of investing the money, in addition to how much money did you actually make. And I wanted to explain that because even though your team came in first, your team did not make the most amount of money in the 5 weeks.
Sure.
So, right. So there were these other things, concepts, lessons learned that you were able to speak to and your whole team was able to speak to allow you to place first. So just talk to us a little bit about, you know, knowing you didn't make the most money, still having to come up with the presentation. How was that process, and what were the feelings like when you were, your Team Affinity were being the winner of the entire program?
To lead up to that point from where we were announced winners, I believe about 2 weeks beforehand, I got to give it to our coach, Bettina Hanglade, who is super supportive and super helpful. One thing I've learned just from college is, you know, getting advice and taking advice from people who not only talk the talk, but also walk the walk. And that's something I noticed in both in you and our coach. And Bettina, one thing she said, during one of our weekly calls, she was like, "You guys can still win this." And we're like, "Play what?" We're like, "No way." We went from third place to 12th to 11th place at within a matter of days. Just sorting AMC thinking, you know, it's going to go back down because of history. And it did it. It went up. And I was like, wow. And she told us, you know, you can still win this. And at first, we were like, there's no way. She told us on those other things we can hit on. Like you said, that, you know, the teachings that, you know, you taught us, and those lessons were based on long-term investing. And even though the program was 5 weeks, we spent solely focused on that. And so from there, I went back to my notes. I went back to the weekly things we learned, the things that meant the most to me. And she even recommended telling a personal story. And I went back and forth because I was like, we should tell a story as a group. And they were like, no, you should tell a story. And they were like, you got the best voice, so you should tell. You should be the one to kick it off. And I was like, oh, man, I don't know, because it might be a tearjerker. I've been through some rough situations growing up. You know, my family's we lived in a couple of homeless shelters growing up. And I was like, what situation can I apply that investing means the most to me? And I decided to tell a story of my situation with my mom and I living with me, because that was so pivotal. So I had on a call with Dom, Mr. Dominic Spence. I told him, you know, we have to be like Beyonce. When Beyonce fell on those flight of stairs, she did not acknowledge that she fell on those flight of stairs. She got right back up. I'm not sure if you've ever seen the video, but it's been viewed like millions of times on YouTube, but she gets right back up. She doesn't acknowledge that she fell down. She doesn't say, I'm sorry, or she doesn't apologize for it. She gets right back up. She continues her performance. And I'm like, that's how we have to be during this presentation. So we decided not to acknowledge the fact that, you know, we didn't place, but we decided to, you know, hit upon, you know, what we've learned. And I think telling our personal, from my personal story at the beginning to our personal stories at the end, those bite-sized audibles of what we'll do moving forward, I felt like would be the most impactful and will hit on the goals of the program. And when they announced the winners, I was like, my mouth dropped. I was like, no way. I took myself off mute. I was like, did they just say us? I went on the group chat and I was like, did they just say us? And they're like, yeah, bro, they did. And then I was hyped for the next 2 days. I called up my mom, let her know. It was absolutely outstanding. I was up to here.
I have to say this. So you felt like you won an Oscar, really?
I did.
An investing Oscar.
I did.
And tell us about the grand prize.
So the grand prize first, everybody got a shout out to Ally, shout out to Better Investing. Ally decided to give all the participants $250 to fund their investment accounts, which will be deposited to our accounts this month. The winning team is going to receive $1,000, so I'm so happy about that. I'm putting that straight into my long-term investing account with Ally, and I'm so excited. It's so funny because I talked to my coworker about it the day of. I was just rehearsing. He was like, wow, that sounded really good. I was like, are you sure? I was like, are you just, you know, don't gaslight me. He was like, I'm serious. He was like, I can relate. And I was like, okay. And when I told him the next day, he was like, no way. I knew you would do it. So it was like I had, you know, an Oscar and a Grammy.
Yeah, you're going for the EGOT, for real. and I do have to also say, even before the grand prize, all the participants in the Ally Stock Market Investment Challenge were also given, I should say, invested a 3-year Better Investing Plus membership. And so we had the students sign up in class, I think on week 3, and there have already been some students being able to get the benefits from that opportunity. So, yeah, that was all made possible by Ally and Better Investing. So thank you to both of those. Oh, yeah, thank you. Thank those two organizations, because I think thought it was so beautiful, the amount of care and intention that went into the planning. Because like I said in the course, you know, this type of investment that we're making in the students, it's like we're winning the Bill and Melinda Gates scholarship. You know, those students that win those scholarships, you don't even have to think about what college costs. You could just focus solely on studying, going to class, doing your best, and graduating. And that's how we felt at Better Investing, being able to give that gift of a 3-year plus membership. We don't want you to have to even worry about, you know, coming up with the membership next year. We were just like, you know what, we know that learning this information takes time, and so we want to just go ahead and invest in you so that you can just start to, you know, use the resources on the website, check out the Better Investing magazine, start doing stock studies, which some of the teams already started to do. So it was really wonderful to also see how those resources were being used in the presentation. So one of the questions, and I want to, you know, bring back up your brother, because I do think, you know, sometimes as siblings, we don't recognize the role we play. You know, sometimes it's like, oh, well, your mother didn't teach you, your father didn't teach you. But your brother really did kind of take you under his wing and teach you some of those core concepts. Was it with him that you even opened up your Roth IRA? I would like to know how you even found out about that and when and why you decided to open up a Roth IRA.
I actually found out about the Roth IRA while I was reading Thinking Grow Rich I'm sorry, not thinking of rich. I was teaching to be rich by Ramit Sethi, and he talked about Darren giving me a 401k. But I was reading with a book club, and in order to catch up, I was speed reading so I could, you know, talk about something that I learned within that time. So I didn't have a lot of time to digest it, but one of my really good friends, I consider him like a big brother to me, Mr. Sanjay Matlock, who runs his own stock and investing group. He had a YouTube video that talked about opening up a Roth IRA, and I talked to him about it. He got me exposed to that. My biological brother Marcus, he has a 401k, but he talked to me about the importance of maxing it out and not withdrawing it early and the penalties that can come because of that. And so I've been like a sponge absorbing all these concepts, and just really ready to squeeze out next month once I begin my full-time career.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the history that you shared with us coming from your background and even not having the stability as a lot of other people, what caused you to do something different? Because sometimes I think people are like, well, I don't have it yet. You know, this is going to be your first, I think, your first full-time job, you know, next month. But you've already opened up a Roth IRA. You know, what really caused you to do something different and take action instead of just kind of letting your circumstances, you know, your path?
I think being exposed to it early. Back in 2018, in summer 2018, during one of my internships, I was on a boat ride, and one of my colleagues in Norfolk State, Sean Turan Jr., he just talks to me about investing, and that's one thing that I wrote down on my goals. And he talks to me about, you know, he's like, "Do you invest?" And I was like, "No." And I think being on a space where you can't move, like being on a boat or being at a conference, for example, where you're with people, you have that energy around you. All you had to do was just show me how Robinhood worked, and Robinhood being very user friendly, which is a pro and a huge con too. I was like, all I had to do was just see it, and I was hooked. And so that's when I started trading my first stocks and started buying cryptocurrency. And that's what first opened up my eyes to investing. And it just, I was learning hands-on. I wasn't really understanding the concepts behind it, but I was learning hands-on, so I was starting to see how things worked. I think getting exposure really helped. Then later on that semester, during my public speech class, I asked the class, they said, "We had to teach a subject." And I was like, "Do you guys want to learn about credit? Do you guys want to learn about investing?" They were like, "Oh, we want to learn about investing." And I was like, "Okay, cool." And so I got really creative, and I made, you know, a beautiful PowerPoint, a copy of like Robinhood's font and colors, and I made a very easy PowerPoint that an 8-year-old can understand within 8 minutes or less. And I was very engaging. It just taught the basics of, you know, how to get involved in stocks. So I think being open to new knowledge and acting on it and then teaching someone else, it made me hungry for more, because when people started asking me, you know, "Hey, how do you do this? Hey, how do you do that?" Like I went to go find out, and I went to go, you know, send them the resources and the links and information. So it was like, I want to be that bridge to connect people to information, but make, you know, all the verbose and all the, you know, legalese, put in the layman's terms for everyone to understand. And I get a kick out of that, like none other, I'm sure you could probably relate to.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm glad you took us there, because one of the questions I have for you, which I think you are uniquely able to answer, is, number one, what did you learn when you were trading, when you were dealing with cryptocurrency and you were on Robinhood? You know, what were you learning there? And also, what's making this better investing way of investing attractive to you? I mean, because you're in your early to mid-20s, and, you know, it's not sexy in the short term. So, you know, I'm really interested in hearing, you know, your perspective from trading, and then why is this something you want to continue?
I think one of the things that you talked about, I believe it was either week two or week three, was the time value of money. And that's something I've heard about only about a couple of times, once during my freshman year of high school, which I remember vaguely, which was, you know, how long would it take you to be a millionaire? And I think the number of years that it took if you invested, you know, a certain amount of money monthly over a course of 50 years was super unattractive. I was like, 50 years, this didn't register. But when you talked about it in one of your sessions, I was like, okay, this is feasible. And if you do the math and you up the amount that you contribute monthly, and even if it's at 6% in 40 years at a 6% interest rate compounded monthly, you can become a millionaire. And I was like, that's pretty sexy. Because to go back to the second part of your question, with trading stocks, selling things that weren't moving as fast came back to bite me in the butt. Like selling things like NIO early, which is China's electric vehicles and their brand, and other growth stocks that were very early stage, selling those early, then looking back last year, seeing those shoot, and I was like, wow, I had the stock early, but, you know, I had what the Redditors call paper hands. I had paper hands, and it tore me up. And I think what also happened last year during the crash and the bull market of last year was trading options and how volatile that got for me. I was high on my own supply. I was up like $2,500 during the first week of June, and June 8th happened, which was around quarter witching, and I had lost all of my gains. And I was like, no way. And it was like, that's when reality hits you. And it takes a couple of times for me to learn my lessons. So, you know, during around this past January, during the hype of the meme stocks rally and GameStop and AMC, I got bit in the butt again. And I was like, okay, I've got to put myself a timeout for trading, and I'm gonna learn. Because I was even investing rent money at that time. And I was like, okay, you told yourself you weren't going to do this. And I was like, that's when it got really dangerous. So that's when I was like, okay, I need to go back to the drawing board and relearn the basics. And it's like that manifests itself in the Ally Challenge. All those lessons were like, you don't need to know all the advanced techniques off the bat. You can master the basics, you'll be set. You talked about how you started investing super early. I believe when you were 13 years old?
Yeah. Well, I started my Roth IRA when I was 14, but I was buying individual stocks through Better Investing's low-cost investment plan in elementary school.
Wow. That's incredible. But it's like that time value has, you know, allows you freedom. And I think freedom is the new flex for our generation. It's no longer material possessions. It's the ability to, you know, have freedom when you want and where you want. So that's something I want.
Wow. I'm glad you put it like that, because I didn't realize freedom was the new, but I can resonate. Like, I can see exactly where you're coming from, because I think when you watch each generation, there is a sort of departure from the previous generation based on those lessons learned. And where we are now, I don't think there has been a generation that really valued choice and freedom like we have. So, wow. I'm glad you said that. I'm going to definitely have to resonate, marinate on that for a little bit. But I do want to get to, you know, and I'm going to slide this back in here, when you was like, you know, you was even putting the rent money to test.
Yeah, I got really bad.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a real thing, and especially for a lot of new investors. So I want to hear about, you know, what was your mindset at that time? Because I know, you know, I tried options and trading. I mean, I learned better investing way before I learned anything else, but I quickly knew that it wasn't my temperament. But when you're new to this thing and you hear about Forex and you hear about cryptocurrency and you hear about Bitcoin, there is a real psychology that's kind of like double or nothing. Like, I'm about to hit it big. And, you know, you're hopeful for this narrow thing and blind to everything else. So if you could, I mean, if you can articulate, I would love to hear, you know, what was really going through your mind at that time to let it get there?
I think it was FOMO, or the fear of missing out, which is severely, one of the things that severely impacts our generation. I think it still will for some time. I think in the age of social media, when you're seeing other people winning at a very high pace and at a very fast speed and a very large number of users that only post their wins, you don't get the other side of the coin, like the losses. So on apps like Reddit, where you see just the normal, you know, everyday man and the average Joe hitting really big on wins, it's like, wow. And then the posts, they keep coming because of social media and like
the
Google searches, the algorithm,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
The algorithm, what you like and what you double tap on is going to reappear itself. And those hashtags are going to reappear itself. So it's like, wow, I'm being bombarded all day, but it's really fruit of our own demise. So looking back in retrospect, I can definitely say that's what allowed it to get that far. It was like, okay, if they have it, well, I should be able to have it too. But then the crash came and it was like nobody prepared. Nobody was prepared for that. And I also knew as a trader who has lots of battle scars that you can't blame those losses on anyone else but yourself. You can't blame the Robinhood app. You can't blame any of the hedge funds. You can only blame yourself, because if you're going to make an investment, you have to be prepared to lose that as well. And that's also a tenet you have to keep in mind. So I swallowed that pill hard, but I was like, okay, I'm going to put myself a timeout and I'm going to have to learn, you know, go back to the drawing board and relearn how to do this the right way.
I want to talk a little bit about, I mean, because you're in this transition moment of having the experience, and nothing really can replace experience. And so having that experience really allows you to see other options more clearly. Now that you are a Better Investing member, I know you're in transition with the new job. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Going to be starting to work with Microsoft in a month or so. What do you feel like you need to move forward successfully? And the reason I ask the question is because, you know, we're doing the podcast as a way of outreach, but I'm keenly aware that some people need something. You know, some people may need a mentor. Some people may need a peer to keep in touch with. Some people may need an investment club to, you know, have that kind of group accountability. Some people are self-studied, you know. So far, based on what you can assess from your own journey, what do you think you would need in order to kind of stick with it? Because you are transitioning from being a trader to a long-term investor.
I feel like one of the things I need is a mentor, and I'm really grateful that this past challenge provided me, you know, provided me the network with my coach and with you and with Better Investing in a future club that I'm going to join pretty soon, and to be able to reach out and ask us questions without feeling inadequate or feeling dumb, because I feel like one thing that I learned was that if you have a question, somebody else probably also has that same question. And if you're able to, you know, ask it out loud and someone's able to answer for you, you also provide value to others. Everybody's learning now. That's the ultimate form of value. And then when you, especially if you can ask someone who's been in your shoes before, it makes the learning curve less of an uphill battle. And I think that's great for everyone. And as we were talking about a little bit before the call, I had no idea you can open up a Roth IRA and 401k at the same time. And I think that's something I'm definitely going to take advantage of it and, you know, maximize out my employer's contribution limit too. I've been looking at their contribution limit. It's really nice. And I'm very blessed. I think too, one thing, going back to Ally Challenge and one of the sessions, I just remember you saying most of the 401ks are retirement vehicles. They start off as a robo, but you have the ability to control them. And I think that's something I do want to do, like be in control of those retirement vehicles and see where my money's actually going versus some people like to set it, forget it, and not check it. But I believe you're probably checking it monthly or quarterly basis might be a good thing to do.
Yeah, and I think that now that you're a Better Investing member, you actually have the tools in the community to control it with education, you know, because sometimes if you try to control it and you don't know what you're doing, you could actually lose more money than if you were to set it and forget it. But, you know, with the lessons you've been learning about compound interest, time value of money, and the tools you've already started to use, like the stock selection guide, you know, you definitely are privy to a lot more informed investment decisions than many other people. So, I'm excited. I'm excited for you in this next stage that you're going into.
Thank you. I'm super excited.
Ms. Ann?
Well, I'm excited for both of you because listening to the value that you're bringing, and of course I have my notes, I've been taking notes. So FOMO, fear of missing out.
Yes.
Do you think that there are many people in your age group, millennials we'll call you, right, that would benefit from what you're learning as a Better Investing member?
Oh, for sure, 100%. It's really the impact Better Investing has had on me in this short amount of time I've been involved has been that you can still achieve your goals without and limit the amount of risk just by being smart and educated when you're investing. So that's one thing that really opened up my eyes. It's like I no longer have to have this very volatile portfolio that's always going up and down, and I don't know. I keep checking my phone every hour. If I select my stocks right and I do my homework, I can have the gains that I want with enough time in the market.
And the reason I ask that question is because there will be a lot of people who are listening to this podcast in the future. And day trading right now, because of Robinhood and a lot of other platforms, are creating an industry of people who you call it FOMO. We have the fear of missing out. And so I think that as Better Investing volunteers, which we hope you eventually become a volunteer, right?
Right.
In your area. But I think that we have an opportunity to share this message. So I'd just like to get your thoughts on some things that you think that you can do, you know, right where you are to help people your age, and that you can tell, I don't know if you mind telling, you know, our listeners how old you are, because again, people can see you, but everybody's not going to see the video. More people will be listening. And for those of you that just joined us, you know, and you're not really aware of what in the world are we talking about and who are we talking to. We just want to remind you that you're listening to hashtag My Investing Story, and we're listening right now to Team Infinity member, Mr. Emmanuel, and he's a recent graduate of Norfolk State University. So can you just share your thoughts, though, about what you think would be something that you could do right where you are as, you know, as a new member of Better Investing?
I think some things that anyone can do right now is have opened up two different accounts with two different brokerages. That helps to diversify and have – you have two different goals. For example, I have one – well, I have three now, but in the last month, I have one with Robinhood for trading exclusively, and another one with TD Ameritrade for longs for investing and for leaps, for longs for option plays. That way, my money is partitioned, and it has two different goals, and that there's not a mix-up. That way, I'm not having FOMO selling stock just to pay for calls and buy more contracts, and then, you know, lose all this and say, dang, like, why did I do that? If each account has a different goal, your money will be managed in a much smarter way. You'll have more control, and you'll be less likely to move funds over. I think having a goal for different accounts can help a lot, even to just help manage that FOMO. Second thing I think you can do, something I've started doing is budgeting and limiting the amount of money that you put into your account. If I can read a quote from The Richest Man in Babylon by George S. Klassen.
Yes, please. Right. One of my favorite books.
I'm absolutely loving it, and I'm still reading it, but this really took an impact on me. And that quote is, let thy motto be 100% of appreciated value demanded for each coin spent. And that's like, wow, I want my money to work for me and recruit more money and have that being ever flowing thing. So I think once it gets internalized, like you start to see it differently. You start to see investing differently.
Well, I have to share with you one of my favorite stories. I know Ione is going to get the hook and pull me out in a minute. But one of my favorite stories in his book was when his when this guy went and the wife, let me get this right. So the wife of the character went to her brother and said, and the brother was doing very, very well. And she said, my husband would like to borrow some money, because I was unfortunately one of those people that would loan people money all the time and couldn't say no. And so they share this story that she asked, you know, her brother, can my husband borrow some money to start a business? And he thought about it. He said, wait a minute now. Your husband, which is the brother-in-law, knows nothing about the business he's going to start, right? He said, no, he doesn't know anything about the business. But then you want me to loan him money for a business he knows nothing about, and I will never get my money back. But this is what he did. He said, now, and I'm just going to use an example, in hours, he said, now, if it takes me 100 hours to make a dollar, and you want, say, $10, that means I am giving him 100 times that in hours. And when he did that, it forced me to think about how often we let people have money, when in fact what you're doing is you're giving them your time and your energy that you'll never get back. It's not about the money, it's more about the energy. And so that story alone, because again, Clayson is one of my favorites, it helped me to stop loaning money to people, especially when you know you're not going to get it back or give people money. Now, you mentioned another one, and I know it was probably a mix up, but you talked about the book Think and Grow Rich. So did you read that book also?
I did. I skimmed through it. I will have to reread it.
And I have to pin Ione's video because I want to see the look on her face. But that's one of my favorite books. This is not the show for that, but needless to say, I'll be reaching out to you later to talk about that book. But I know she gave me this platform to talk about another subject before we wrap up. So Ione, I don't want to lose my job, so I'm going to go ahead and let me do the commercial. So we want to remind everybody that you are listening to hashtag My Investing Story. Now, Ione and I are volunteers at Better Investing, but we really want to encourage all of you to consider joining us at our Better Investing annual conference. And Michelle, if you share with us the link, also consider joining Better Investing for the 90-day free membership. You can go to betterinvesting.org, and on the front page of the website, you can see the details. But we are hosting a Better Investing 70th anniversary. It's going to be held in Dallas on October the 24th, the 21st, excuse me, through the 24th, 2021. And that's going to be at the Westin Dallas Park Central Hotel in Dallas, Texas. In addition to that, we are also hosting what we call a Financial Empowerment Day. That's going to be held on that Saturday, which is October the 23rd, from about 7:30 to about 3:30. And Emmanuel, we would love to encourage you and your friends from your investment club to come and join us. It's a free day, but it is always a phenomenal experience to be on the front end of. Actually, you could probably be a part of our program. Ione, what do you think? Ione?
Thank you. I would love that.
Yes. Okay. So, Michelle, we're going to put him down, and we will come back, and we will get with you later and talk about how we can, you know, work with planning. And Michelle and Marcia, we want to also thank both of you for working with us in this endeavor. So, Ione, if I can, I do have one more question. Okay, she says yes. All right. So, one of the other things that you talked about was freedom. Is it freedom is the new flex? Can you explain, for those of us that really don't get that, can you explain to us what is that?
For sure. And I'm still learning this this concept as well. But being able to, I think those are infatuated with the FIRE movement, the financially independent and retiring early movement, and being able to have your investments pay for your lifestyle, mm-hmm. And not having to be tied to a job or be tied to someone else, or whether it be physically or even, as you said before, with time and energy. That's ultimate flex of our upcoming generation. I feel like there's been a shift since in last year that job security can be fickle, and the pandemic really exposed that. And seeing other friends and family members, you know, start their own companies and shift into entrepreneurship and working for themselves, they've been able to experience, you know, a new way of life. And I also think that can be achieved too with investing and investing smartly. And so I'm 23 years old now, but my goal is by 36, I can walk away from my job, and I'm trying to learn everything I can now to make that happen.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. We also have a lot of people in the audience, and so we want to also encourage all of you, if you have any questions for Emmanuel or either one of us, please don't hesitate to let us hear from you in the chat and put your questions there. Emmanuel, can you share with us in terms of your vision for the future for yourself as it relates to this information? What does that look like for you in terms of service? I'm big on giving. And giving of the time, the talent, and the treasure as volunteers. And I think that Ione and I both, based upon what you just said about flex, And we, you know, we've been on this journey, even though Ione is only X number of years old. I don't tell her age to do that. But what does it look like for you in the next, I know you talk about 36, but even after you retire, what does that look like, say, at 56 or 66?
That's a great question. I just hope to have the funds now to be able to have freedom for myself, but for my future family that comes after me, and for my siblings, that way they don't have to, you know, live the struggle that I live. They'll still have to learn the importance of, you know, earning a dollar and how much a dollar costs, but they want to struggle like I did. And not even just for my family, but I feel like, just to backtrack a little bit, the teacher learns the most. And it's when you're able to learn a subject and you're able to comprehend it, able to apply it, able to teach someone else, you get to retain more of that information. And so you get better and better as a result. So I feel like investing in, you know, being active in sharing your communities is a positive sum game. While you teach, you learn more and you get to find concepts like, oh, Sam, I should probably double down on this too. It's down during conversation, but it reminded me I should probably double down on this. Or, you know, showing someone the ropes patiently firsthand. I was doing it in college before the pandemic, and I hope to continue doing it now online through social media, through some of my iMessage groups I'm a part of, and through, you know, some of the people that I mentor.
Well, I don't know if there's anybody listening. And you're in which city, please?
I'm in Norfolk, Virginia.
Okay, Norfolk. So Ione knows all of the chapters for Better Investing. I would really challenge you to connect with the Better Investing chapter near you and consider becoming a Better Investing volunteer, because young individuals, millennials, whatever you want to call it, we're always looking for volunteers to teach. And it sounds like you have a phenomenal passion for teaching. So when you think about how can you reach the most people, not so much the day trading, so I think day trading will take care of itself, right?
Right.
but this newfound knowledge that you have and appreciation that you have for better investing principles, because it sounds like it's becoming a passion.
It is.
All right. And to take that passion and now share it in an organized, systematic way with an organized group of individuals who are so embracing. So, Ione, I'm going to turn it back over to you, but I want to thank you, Manuel. You have blessed me today and just, I think, really recommitted me to probably doing a better job outreaching to individuals in your age. But I think that people who are your age will only, not necessarily only hear your voice, but there are some people who will only hear my voice. There are some people who will only hear Ione's voice. And there are people who will only hear your voice. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Right. But if you don't use that voice, as you know, for people to hear, then they may never hear that voice. So we asked our members from last week to commit to do one thing and put it in the chat. We want to thank all of you for coming back. And if you give us one more thing, and Emmanuel, I'm going to ask you to, in the chat, just give us one thing you're willing to do in the next week regarding what you're discussing. And Ione, I'll turn it back over to you. I know we just have a minute left, and we can go ahead and wrap up with your closing comments, both of you. Thank you.
Emmanuel, I had one last question for you. I had two, but Ms. Ann asked the second one. But one, I want to leave on this note. How has investing changed your perspective on money and even your worldview as a person?
I think since reading The Richest Man of Babylon, it's really visualized money as an employee of me, and that just going back to that, make sure every dollar is accounted for. It's a tool to be used, not just something that a consumer, you know, buys and spends on products and services, but to go out and recruit more dollars for yourself. I feel like that can change someone's their life, because if you can go from, I think what Biggie Smalls called it, from ashy to classy, that it's like, wow. When people see that, it's like, wow, I want that too. And not in a pompous fashion, but in a, you know, I put in the work to reap the rewards of my labor, which is why I hold the respect of Babylon, because it tells that story. And that's really impacted me. And could you go back to the second part of your question?
Yeah, how has it, investing changed your worldview as a person?
I think it's one thing that I noticed when I did my presentation, the first time I presented in front of my class back in college, was that we spend our time, energy, and money on products and services every day by companies. In college, you rent books from Chegg. Your email provider is probably through Microsoft Outlook. You probably have a Barnes & Noble in your bookstore. You probably subscribe to Apple Music or Spotify to listen to music or to podcasts. And you probably go to, you know, McDonald's or Wendy's, and you're probably buying, you know, luxury items to impress or to show off or to, you know, attract someone else. So it's like all of those services and products are connected to companies, and almost all of those companies are public in some shape or fashion. So by you being a shareholder and investing in those companies that you put your money in, I love Chipotle. I go to Chipotle once a week, and Chipotle's stock is sitting at, you know, hovering at about $1,300, $1,400 right now. I need to take advantage of that. I spend my money here. I love the food, and they're going to keep me as a customer. Let me go ahead and ride the wave with them to the top, because they're going to be in business for a long time. There's the next type of quote unquote quality or luxury fast food, and that's something I enjoy. Something that's here to stay, and it's that you don't have to stay a consumer, and you don't have to be, you know, super intelligent to be a producer, but that middle ground is investing, and investing is for everybody. So that's really changed my mindset.
I love it. The middle ground is investing. Thank you so much, Emmanuel, for sharing your time and your energy, and more importantly, your story, because I think that it was impactful to even get to know you a little bit better during this space. And I'm looking forward to seeing the return on the investment, not just the financially, but definitely the time and the energy from your coach, from myself, from Jack Howard at Ally, from Ken Zendale of Better Investing, and just all of the entire community that really put on the Ally Stock Market Investment Challenge. I know we made an impact, but being able in 5 to 10 years to see the results of that impact is going to be phenomenal. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Ioni. And thank you so much, Ms. Ann. I think you also recommitted me to teaching. Sometimes I feel like I'm not an expert. I'm a jack of all trades, but a master at none. But I feel like I'm slowly getting to that master at one. So I thank you.
All right. I just want to welcome you into the Better Investing family. And I also want to let Better Investing know and thank you, Ioni, for investing in his class and also in him. But I think that the best return off this investment that Better Investing will have are the millions of lives you will touch in the future by opening people's eyes about becoming a better investing. We have a lot of comments in the chat, and we want to thank all of you, Ann Newman, everybody, all of you, Michelle, Marshall, all of the people, Venus, Angelique, everybody that has comments. Thank you so very much for your comments, and we want to thank you again, Emmanuel, for a phenomenal interview. Phenomenal. So Ione, any closing comments? Emmanuel, any closing comments before we wrap up?
Thank you. Goodbye.
Okay.
Thank you so much for having me on the My Investing Story podcast. And I'm definitely going to stay in touch.
All right. Thank you. And add that thing, you go reach back to your book too. Okay. All right, everybody. All right, everybody. Good night. And we'll see everybody next week. You have been listening to hashtag My Investing Story. And on behalf of Ione McNeil and myself, as volunteers with Better Investing, and Emmanuel again, thank you. And everybody have a good night. Thanks. All right. See you.
Good night.